Hello and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. On today's program, my guest is Ray Chow, owner and operator of Hibachi Express Food Truck and Catering by Ray. Now, I'm excited about this topic because I love watching the shows about the food trucks on TV. So I'm going to be asking Ray a lot of questions today that you may be wanting to ask too. Ray's been in the restaurant business for 18 years, and you may know him from his three Hibachi Express locations. He opened those in 2001 through 2013, and he owned the Crystal Palace from 1997 to 2013. But Ray is one of those savvy entrepreneurs and restaurateurs, and he was looking out there at all those trends and all the changes that were going on, and he saw the food trucks. And he decided to do something that sort of looks like in reverse. He went from restaurants to catering and food trucks, where a lot of people get into the food truck business to build up that clientele and the knowledge of their food and then head to brick and mortar. Ray looked at the trend a little bit differently and the marketplace. And so today Ray is going to talk to us about deciding to go into catering, to doing the food trucks, and what other trends he's seeing out there, and the challenges of being a restaurant owner, a food truck owner, and all of those kind of challenges. Now, Ray put that Hibachi Express food truck on the road in 2011, and Ray and I met at the Make-A-Wish Ball, and he had donated a package, which apparently is one of the most popular packages that Make-A-Wish auctions for their fundraiser at the ball. And the party was for 75 people, catered at their home. So think of it as either a home party, a block party, or something like that. And everyone was so excited. And the people who bought it last year were bidding on it this year. And they had it in their sights to get it again. Not sure they got it again because that bidding was really competitive. Now, Ray is also a family man. He and his wife, Rachel, have three children, Allie, Madison, and Nathan. And if you want to find Ray, you can find him at Twitter at Hibachi Express. That's HibachiExpress, and that's the same thing on Facebook. Ray, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you, Lee. Thanks for having me out here today.
So, food trucks. You know, some people say, oh, it's just a trend. That's just what's going on there. I don't think it's a trend. I think food trucks are here to stay, and apparently you do too, or you wouldn't have changed your business model to include food trucks.
Yeah, food trucks is definitely on the up and coming. It is a very hot topic and product right now. Great opportunity for many entrepreneurs to kind of get their initial start into having their own business. And what better way can you start off within an acceptable amount of money and budget than to jump in on a food truck? And to make things even better, you know, the popular movies and the reality shows has really gotten everyone really excited about the food trucks. And to hear about various food truck events, rodeos, etc., that only adds additional level of excitement to it.
So, I mean, you can see, like you said, all the reality shows. You see food truck wars. You see this competition to win your own food truck. You see them eating the street, going around and sampling the different food trucks and the food truck cultures. How is it different than owning your brick-and-mortar restaurant, and what are the challenges? We were talking just before the show. You were doing a little mechanical work on the track before you arrived. So that's got to be different, too, than having a brick-and-mortar store. So what are those challenges, and how do you address those and make the transition?
Well, obviously, brick-and-mortar is stationary. You can't really just pick it up and move it tomorrow if your location's not quite working out for you. And that's one of the challenges that we had. I had brick-and-mortar restaurants for 13 years, and the trend of the public eating out has shifted. They don't eat out as much and as frequent as they used to. So when you have a brick-and-mortar restaurant, you really have to rely on word of mouth and your heavy marketing strategies. And a lot of times you're finding yourself having to do a lot of discounting for your brick-and-mortar stores. The food truck business is really incredible. If you stumble onto a location that just doesn't quite work out for you, your whole concept is on wheels and you just don't go back to it and you find some more exciting locations to go to.
Well, and we see on TV too that some of the ways that they market, so their website or on Yelp and the different social media to say, we're going to be at a certain location today or we're going to be at a food truck radio or we're going to be doing something. Are you using that? And how does that impact the business versus the brick and mortar stores that you had?
Well, right now, social media is very hot. Food truck business is basically like a social event. So you have to support it with social media. There's still food truck owners that's not quite social savvy, but they still have a pretty good following, and their following actually helps them with keeping the word out socially. But many of the successful food truck owner operators, they are on your Twitters and your Facebooks and so forth. So definitely have to find ways to kind of keep everyone in the know as far as where you're going and where you're serving.
So what does your Hibachi Express truck serve? Is it like the full menu you had at the restaurant, or is it a subset of that menu, or is it completely new food and innovations?
Well, it was very similar to what we had at the restaurant. We have to condense our menu down a little bit. You're going from a kitchen of 1,000 square feet to a kitchen of 120 square feet. So we're somewhat limited on what we can prepare and serve on the truck. We've kind of gotten away from doing the sushi. The sushi kind of takes a little bit longer to prepare.
Right.
And when you're on the food truck and you're an event and you got 100 people in line, you really have to get food out relatively quick. So our primary menu is what everyone really enjoys. We do the rice, the veggies. We do the hibachi style steak, chicken, and shrimp. Of course, with in our house teriyaki sauce that we make, but there's always the world-famous yum-yum sauce that everyone just devours. And I always tell everyone, moderation is the key to that sauce, but not everyone listens. They really enjoy the yum-yum sauce.
Well, it's appropriately named. And so you're out there, and how does that really work? You're in 120 feet in the moving truck. How do you prep? How do you know what to order? How do you manage the inventory? All of those types of things.
It is definitely a guessing game because no one really knows for certain what you're going to sell today at your events. All food trucks have to have a commercial kitchen that they prepare out of. So that is kind of like our home base.
So you do have brick and mortar somewhere to do some of the prep.
Yeah, there is a brick and mortar kitchen where, you know, we're washing our pots and pans. We are prepping our food. And we keep a relatively decent stock so we can reload the truck when we're going out to the next event.
So what happens? We watch the food truck competitions and they run out of food in the middle of the day. Does somebody restock you? Do you drive to the nearest Whole Foods? What happens when you start running out of things and you still have a line of customers?
That's part of preparation on the Hibachi Express food truck. You have to know. You take a guess. It's like, well, maybe I'm going to sell about 100 plates today. So you load for 150 hibachi plates.
Okay.
So you don't ever run out. Running out is one of my pet peeves because it's missed opportunity.
Right. And if it happens too often, then the customer starts looking for a different food truck. Right?
Absolutely. Right. If your truck runs out of food and you don't have a way of replenishing it, that's typically when you go ahead and pull the windows down and
just pull away.
Pull away and take a break.
So what's the food truck culture like here in the Triangle? Is it bigger in Raleigh than it is in Durham? Do you see consistencies? And where all do you go with your food truck?
That's why I love the food truck business here in the Raleigh area. Based on the last 4 years of me being in the food truck business, I've established a lot of favorable relationships with other food truck owners. And I've actually identified our food truck community basically like a food truck family. Everyone's looking out for each other. Everyone helps each other and do whatever it takes to make sure we're all staying in business and take care of business based on various challenges that happen on a day-to-day basis. So I really enjoy the food truck community here in the Triangle. Unfortunately, it's not always like that at different areas across the country. Some are a little bit more competitive, and it just kind of brings a negative connotation to the whole food truck business world. And so I'm actually, by learning how some of the other markets have been, I'm actually very blessed and very glad that the food truck community here is like a family community.
So what are those challenges that the food truck community faces? Is it like the food and health inspectors, which I know the trucks have to get inspected just like a restaurant would, and those kind of rules? Is it the rules for where you can park and you can do business? What kind of things are you facing as challenges on a daily basis?
Just like any other business, there are many challenges that you have to face. Inspections is one of the challenges, but we have to look at it as a partnership with the health inspectors. As of a couple years ago, food trucks are now being inspected like a brick-and-mortar restaurant by the food code. And so we have to look at our inspectors as partners in our business. They're not there to kind of be stringent on your business and make difficulties on how you operate, but they just want to make sure you're having the right food handling practices and so forth. So I look at it as a positive partnership. And when you approach it in that direction, they are really, truly a partner in my business as well.
So are there regulations? I know when I moved to the town of Cary, there were signage things. I remember people had their vans painted with their business signs, and there for a while that was an issue because that was signage was regulated. And so do you run into those kind of things? And does Raleigh have favorable rules for that, for the signage on your truck that it's advertising or where you can do business? Are there restricted areas you can't? You know, how do you deal with finding that out and then deal with those?
I think from what I've experienced, the signage criteria is if it's on your vehicle, it's part of your vehicle. It's actually not a sign. If you're actually putting it in front of your vehicle that's stationary, that is a sign. Sign challenges aren't as big of a deal because we always put everything on our truck. We have very few items that's outside. So that's not as big of a hurdle as other people may have experienced. Unfortunately, the Raleigh market for food trucks is not what you see on TV like in L.A. or Miami.
Seattle or any of those.
Seattle, yeah. Denver, where the trucks get to say, hey, on Mondays I'm at this corner, on Tuesday I'm this corner, I'm going to hang around for 6 or 8 hours, and then just people walking by come and buy from you. And that is their schedule. They go from block to block to block, and it works in the larger metro areas because it's such a high-dense population in that area. But for this area, a lot of the business is all relying on your weekend festivals, the fun rodeos that we have in Durham. And as a matter of fact, we had one in Raleigh just a couple days ago, and the Durham Rodeo is actually this Sunday.
And where's that being held?
That is at corner of Hunt and Foster Street. It'll be this Sunday. I believe it's from 12 until 4 o'clock.
So they need to come and check out the Hibachi Express truck that day.
Absolutely. There is the Hibachi Express truck plus about 40 other unbelievably locally owned food trucks in that rodeo for sure.
So that'll be fun. And it's at Hunt and Foster?
Hunt and Foster in Durham.
Okay. From noon to 4 this Saturday?
This Sunday.
Sunday. Okay. So this Sunday, have your appetites and head to Durham.
Absolutely.
So how does it work with, do you have just one truck? Are you doing multiple trucks? And do things get more complicated as you add trucks? And how does the catering come into play in your business model?
We started off as a brick-and-mortar restaurant, and we started evolving into doing catering. We did drop-off catering for a lot of pharmaceutical reps. And as the food truck industry was starting to kind of get hotter and hotter and spreading across the nation, I decided to kind of expand my catering business into the food truck world a little bit. As time kind of continued, I realized that people were eating out less in the restaurants, and the catering side of the business was growing nicely, and the food truck side was actually growing nicely. So about not quite 2 years ago, I decided to start phasing out of my last brick-and-mortar restaurant, and now my focus is strictly on catering and food trucks. And we've been doing catering for a little over 6 years. We've been doing the food truck business for about 4 years, and we still have a great, solid clientele that we do a lot of drop-off catering with.
So talk about the catering. That's a different aspect of planning and handling the food and knowing how many people and that kind of stuff. So kind of walk everybody through the process of getting an event catered by Ray.
Catering we usually do for groups of about 20 guests and up. And our clients will call us up and say, hey, I need lunch tomorrow for 50 people. And it's all packaged and almost like a little mini buffet setup. So we'll go deliver to the location and basically set up like a little mini buffet for everyone to get their plates and scoop and go. And that works really well for large groups. We've catered for as small as 15, and we've catered as large as, I believe the largest one we did was about 600 guests.
So can the catering also involve the food truck, like you did the package for the Make-A-Wish Ball? Is that something that's readily available that someone can say, hey, bring your food truck, we want you to have the catering from the food truck and things like that?
The food truck is definitely another asset that we can use for our Catering by Ray packages. And we've actually utilized the food truck for a couple of very special events, such as a wedding. Weddings are starting to get pretty hot to bring a food truck because it's a lot more within the scope of the budget that a lot of them are working with. But it also enhances with the novelty of having the food truck. And we actually catered a wedding out in, at, I believe, at the Portofino in Clayton for about 250 guests with the food truck.
Oh, wow. So explain that process. Someone knows they're going to do their wedding, and they want to call you at or go to your website. Can they see information on how to contact you and your menus and options and things like that?
As far as pricing and packaging, everything is all customized because there's no one event that is the same. You can say, we want our 100 guests to be able to walk up to the truck and get individual meals or have the food truck out on site and use that as your kitchen and cook everything that you need to kind of feed our group. So it's all tailored uniquely to whatever that it is that you're looking for.
So they can have a narrow menu, or they can say, bring the truck and we want to have the entire Hibachi Express menu available that's not normally on the food truck.
Absolutely. The beauty of us having a catering company and the food truck, we utilize the food truck as a great tool that we can go mobile and cook, you know, up to 1,000 guests as needed. But with our catering experience, our menu selections, we can be a little bit more diverse and have a lot more to offer.
So you can do weddings, anniversaries, birthday parties, block parties, pretty much any kind of event we would want to have, you guys could cater and bring the truck.
Absolutely. We do a lot of even lunches for corporations. The VP wants to buy lunch for all of the employees. And
That's great. Yeah. That would be just so sweet. Pull up. You hand him the bill at the end of the day.
Oh, absolutely. That's the best part. You know, the executive says, hey, feed all my employees. There's a couple hundred of them. They come out and eat at the end. Here's my card. Run it. We're done.
All that, and that's convenient for your clientele, too. So how much notice does somebody need to give you to do that? And are you somewhere every day with the truck? Or like you said, weekends were better. Are you there in the evenings? How does your schedule work and how you decide what you're going to do?
Right now, we're probably dead smack in the middle of food truck season. It starts right around March and April when the weather starts getting nice. A good rule of thumb of booking food trucks for events is about 60 days out.
Okay.
The closer you get to your event date, the less availability you'll have with trucks. So I tell everyone a good rule of thumb is try to plan it about 60 days out.
And that's probably true with any event you're catering or anything. The more advanced notice you have, the more time you had to figure out the package, the people, the food, if they want to use the truck, all of those kind of things. So the more notice you get, the better.
Absolutely.
And you have more date choices.
Exactly.
So you've made the transition from brick and mortar to the food truck. How do you plan to expand? How do you plan to keep? Because I'm confident from what we've talked about before, you're not planning to let grass grow under your feet or, you know, park the truck and let it grow cobwebs. So when you're thinking about your expansion model now, is it more trucks? Is it just more catering staff, more events, or all of the above?
It's a combination of all the above. For the catering, we do more than just drop off lunches for the pharmaceutical rep industry. When we had the restaurant, we were known as Hibachi Express Catering, and that put a limitation on the menu that we could cater, which was also a blessing at the time, so we didn't have to worry about having a menu with 500 items for people to choose
from.
Right,
for inventory control and the complexity of that.
It was actually very simple. Now that we've actually separated our catering from our food truck business, we've created Catering by Ray, which gives us that expanded catering opportunities. So in addition to drop-off catering lunches, we're also a contract caterer for one of the caterers who has the contracts for the funeral industry.
Oh, okay.
And we also are able to do various parties, again, birthday parties, even do catering for weddings. And we are also looking at expanding to do catering for a lot of schools and churches. Any kind of event where you need to feed a large group at a certain period of time.
And so you're not limited to the Hibachi menu. You're now doing any kind of food?
Yeah, we're actually expanding to do box lunches, salads, pastas, just anything that you can imagine we can definitely prepare.
So here's the question. Our show that just preceded us is Say Yes to the Chef. And so I've been hanging out with some chefs. And so I asked these questions. Do you guys come up with your own special recipes for your yum yum sauce and for your catering? What's distinctive about the menus and things that you're offering?
The sauces that we use for the Hibachi Express is probably about a 25-year-old recipe that's kind of been handed down that we make in-house. And there's been a little bit of tweaking along the year, over the years. So
that's
the
your
sauces,
secret sauce.
That
there.
Is our secret sauce. Now you can still go online and Google
right.
Recipes on how to make yum yum sauce, and there's millions of variations. It just depends which one you kind of like and you can make.
So are you thinking about even in your catering starting? You know, are you going to be known for your sauces or your mustards or your, you know, how? You know, we're out in a competitive market, and somebody's going to say, "Well, why am I calling Catering by Ray? How are you differentiating yourself in the marketplace beyond the food truck and the Hibachi Express name?"
I look at it. I've seen many caterers out there, and there's a lot of them that do great jobs, and there's some that have areas for improvement. One of the things that I do to identify how I cater, and I tell my guests this, is we're cater with a half ounce of I give a hoot.
Just a half ounce.
That's all it
that's
is.
That's more than everybody else.
when you show up at an event and you actually bring a half ounce of care to their event, it's going to show in how the food is presented. It's going to show in how the service is. It's going to show even just on the fact that you're not on time, you're early enough to get everything set up perfectly. Everything's wonderful. I like to set up my catered events as if it's my mom's 100th birthday and the whole family showing up. You cannot be late. You cannot run out of food. And nothing can be cold. Everything's got to be about 100% beyond perfect. And if you just kind of put that half ounce of I give a hoot into your customers' events, it's going to be a true reflection of how you do business.
So you're out there and you're taking this extra care and you're doing all the great business processes and things of that nature. So how do people hear about you for the first time? I mean, I ran into you at Make-A-Wish, but I hadn't heard about your food truck or Catering by Ray at that point. You made a big impression. We were sitting at the same table and we were talking. And everyone was fighting for that package that you had put up for Make-A-Wish. And so how is it that you're out there and you're getting people to find you? Is it word of mouth? Is it the social media? Is it having had the restaurants and the clientele from that and they know what you're doing? So how are you building your customer base and getting people to come to you?
I would say right now we're at a transition period. We've been in the restaurant business for 14 plus years. We do have a certain amount of following. Unfortunately, we've lost some of that following when we didn't have the brick and mortar restaurants anymore. And I myself is still kind of learning the ins and outs of social media, but I understand that that's one of the key sources for keeping the word out. Definitely with a food truck going out to as many events that we could reasonably attend successfully. Not all of them are great events, and I look at it that even though we didn't make a lot of money, we were still physically out here and people saw our truck. So definitely by participating in events and keeping the word out socially, those are some of the key strategies that we have to use right now for keeping the word out about us. As far as the Catering by Ray side of business, we've been taking the last year and a half trying to slowly transition and educate people that if you want catering, it's Catering by Ray. If you want the food truck, it's HibachiExpress.com.
And Catering by Ray can hire the Hibachi Express truck if they want it, but they need to come through Catering by Ray.
Either way, okay. We've got both sites that kind of link to each other. If you're on the HibachiExpress.com site and you click on Catering, it's going to send you to CateringByRay.com. And if you're on CateringRay.com, if you click on About Food Trucks, it's going to take you over to HibachiExpress.com.
Well, see, and that's something else that doesn't always happen with the small businesses. They frequently will make the two boxes and they don't communicate. And so you're already making a distinction there that you're delivering from behind the scenes with both systems. And so you're serving both clientele well by doing that. You're not making them figure out which company I have to call.
Yeah, that was one of the lessons learned that we've kind of been working on over the time is the distinction between the catering side of the business and the food truck. When we initially, after we closed our last store down, we only had the HibachiExpress.com site. And people were kind of confused as far as, are you food truck or are you caterer? And the messaging that we had on our website was a little bit conflicting at the time.
So talk about that messaging. If you had to sum up your food philosophy and what you want the clientele out there, the prospects to know about your business, what's the most important thing you want them to know about the business?
We are a local company. We're not a chain. We do make all our sauces fresh in-house. We have been in business for almost 15 years now. And we're starting to learn and adapt to the changing demands of the public. And one of the things that we've learned is the brick and mortar restaurants, we were need to kind of start phasing those out. Why? The catering was a lot of fun. It's great to drop off food for 100 people and everyone is excited to see you.
Right.
On the food truck, people are ecstatic to see you at events. And one of the things that I've kind of learned over the years, and I used two key words to kind of identify my experiences. When I had the brick and mortar restaurants, my clientele was starting to shift a little bit more to a entitlement mentality. They came into the brick and mortar restaurants and says, I'm entitled to this, this, and this, and maybe I don't want to pay for all of that.
Right.
But when they come to the food truck, now they're in a celebratory mentality. They're super excited to kind of see you at their office so they don't have to drive away, or they're super excited to see you at a festival or at their church gathering. Bottom line is everyone is in much happier mode when they come to the food truck.
It's like an adult picnic going on all the time.
Absolutely.
Without the ants. So you're out there, people come to the truck. Is the price point comparable to someone coming in and buying a lunch or a dinner at your brick and mortar? Is it a lower price point? How do the food trucks really price comparative to a brick and mortar store?
Everyone has to operate their food truck as a business. Your menu has to be priced profitably. You don't want to be a nonprofit organization on wheels. And that's how I kind of identify it.
A failing business on wheels, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Right. And that's what I've seen with some of the startup food trucks owners. They have a tendency to kind of underprice. They don't want to be too expensive. But after a few months of underpricing yourself, you're kind of feeling the strains. There are a lot of operational overhead that you may not understand while operating a food
truck. Vehicle insurance, employees, licensing, permits, gasoline, maintenance of the vehicle, maintenance of your equipment to cook with, your commercial kitchen. Did I miss anything?
Well, one of the biggest misunderstandings that a lot of people have about food trucks when they've never been in one, they automatically think that the food truck just shows up at your event on the spur of the moment, fully prepped, fully loaded, everything you need, whenever you need to.
The Keebler elves did it for you, is
exactly
what they think.
So they don't understand. For us, it takes us about 2 hours prior to an event to make sure it's loaded. There's plenty of food and products and change, and then we get to the event.
Well, and before that, you had to order it, you had to plan it,
exactly.
And you had to. There's all of those things that go on behind a restaurant. Just it's on wheels.
Yeah, the preparation is outside of that 2 hour window. It usually takes us a couple hours to load the trailer properly. And even when we get back after an event, we usually have to take about 2 hours after it to unload it, to clean it, and drain all the water, and take care of cleaning the supplies and pots and pans and utensils and so forth.
All the moving parts that they don't see are still there, and there's all those expenses that you incur. Are food truck sales taxed differently than a restaurant sale, or do you still have the same issues and more?
My wonderful friends at the North Carolina Department of Revenue, they definitely want to see their fair share of all the sales tax on every dollar that is sold. So food trucks are still being taxed just like a brick and mortar restaurant. One of the challenges that we have at is sometimes we're in Wake County.
Sometimes you're in Durham County.
Sometimes you're in Orange County and vice versa. And different counties have different local county taxes associated. So you also have an administrative side that you got to keep track of. How much did I sell in Wake County versus Durham and Alamance and so forth?
So do you have a point of sale system that captures all that? That you can say, I'm in Wake County today, the taxes are this, and that report generates. But what if you're in Durham in the morning and you're in Raleigh in the afternoon? So do you have a system in there, or is it a manual system at this point, or how do the food trucks do it?
Many food trucks operate on two different scales as far as how they keep track of their ordering and so forth. A lot of them still use a pen and a pad, a piece of paper. Still old-fashioned. It works. There's a lot of the veterans out there. This is how they've done it. This is how they've done business for decades, and this is how they're going to continue doing it.
And I feel sorry for their accountant.
Absolutely. We're kind of in between. We still do pen and paper to orders. We have our own pre-printed form, so it's a lot simpler. We're not writing everything down. But we're actually in the process of shifting to more of a point-of-sale system, kind of like a Square processing.
Right.
And so we're starting
to move
more.
Love my Square.
Absolutely.
So, and it's the great thing about using devices, so like Square is, well, you can use it in your iPad, you can use it on your smartphone, you can use it on your tablet, and you can process the credit cards. And only when you're actually using the processing of that do you have to pay for the service.
Absolutely.
And rather than, so for my instance, I run around and I do events, but I don't sell something that's taxable every day. So for me to pay that ongoing $50 a month or whatever some of the credit card processing companies were charging didn't make sense. I celebrated when Square came along. So I'm doing an event in a couple of weeks in Charlotte. That Square and my iPad are my terminal. I know what the tax rates are in Mecklenburg County, which is completely different from here, and I'll be able to track the sales and identify that and know at the end of the day how much the tax man gets in Mecklenburg County.
Exactly. Square has been a great blessing for a lot of food truck owners in the community. I know a lot of them use it, if nothing else, just to process their credit cards right now. It is very easy to understand. I still have other processing companies because this is what I use for my restaurants, for my catering business.
You've got the history.
I've got the history. But the way they structure their fees, it's 8 pages, 10 pages, and it's very complex.
Well, I mean, QuickBooks has their processing card. There's a number of them out there besides the Square. Square's even got their own point of sale terminals now that look like this, you know, Star Trek device. That it's really exciting that small businesses are starting to get more options so that they don't have to be pen and paper and spreadsheets and shoeboxes. And so we can look at our costs and how we need to set the prices. To the point that you were making about how these startup food trucks are pricing things, do you think it's just they're inexperienced, they're afraid to price high, or they really don't know their business costs when they're starting up, and they don't think about all the things they don't see?
I would say a majority of the food truck owners who are just starting off, most of the time, it's their first time being an entrepreneur.
Okay.
And it's education or the lack of education as a business owner. And these are a lot of the details that they haven't been exposed to. Unfortunately, if they don't have anyone to show them, teach them, it's something that you learn along the way. And your tuition is what you undercharge. That's how I identify the tuition. But that's one great thing about the food truck community. A lot of times when I hear about some new food trucks starting off, I'll talk with them. I'll share with them what I know.
You're mentoring them.
I'm doing my best to be a mentor and just kind of help them out along the way. I haven't written Food Truck 101. I believe someone's already published that book.
Well, we could write another one together.
Absolutely.
But that sounds like fun.
But a lot of the experience that I've had as running a food truck, I've kind of paid my dues. I've paid my tuitions and learned along the way. And I do my best to kind of share my experiences with other food truck owners and just make my experiences available to them. And
so how are those startup food trucks financing those food trucks? Are they able to go to a bank and do it? Are they getting, you know, the truck itself they can get a loan for, but they have to do working capital? What's that business model for a startup food truck?
A lot of them, it's kind of a mixed financial model. Some may have prior businesses where they have established credit lines.
Right.
Or they may have a house where they've got some equity so they can kind of pull equity line out of their house. But a lot of them is, you know, in the business world, friends, families, and fools. They're doing short term.
Or the other investors, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. They become your working capital investors.
Yeah, there's a lot of them do resort to unsecured credit cards to kind of get started. And some of the challenges I've seen that they've kind of run into has been they're 95% funded and then they run out of cash.
Right.
So they're really strapped and they're in a tight pickle. So a lot of them, they are doing the work themselves. And then when they're finding out what rules and regulations they're required to adhere to, it kind of puts them in a challenge in that point and they weren't able to finish their truck. Or the banking industry has been not as lenient to helping startup businesses. They want to make sure you have a track record or you've been
a
business plan before they even consider loaning. So some of the institutional banking may be a bit challenging for someone who's starting up on a food truck. So typically, a majority of them are going to friends and families to help them get started.
So with starting a food truck, you're doing something. You're basically learning the restaurant business. You're learning a mobile business, you're learning about business if you've never been in business at all. Food industry, where restaurants are some of the fastest failing businesses to start because people don't always know. So there's all of these things that they don't know, and they jump into the food trucks. So from your experience, what's the success rate of people starting up and then quickly getting out of the business or failing within like the first year or so?
There are a lot of positives with starting a food truck. And the first thing is it costs you probably 20% of the cost of starting a brick and mortar restaurant versus starting a food truck.
Right.
So your cost of entry is significantly less. You've got the flexibility of your mobile. If you're not great at site selection and you're going to throw five times the amount of money into a location, you're really taking a significant risk. Versus on a food truck, if I pick some bad locations that aren't making me money, tomorrow I go to a different site.
Right.
A lot of food truck owner operators have a reasonable amount of food experience, cooking. Some of them may be like executive chefs at some very well-known restaurants across the nation, and they want to get into the restaurant business.
Right.
The best part about food truck is you're a executive chef, and you just have to worry about 150 square feet of kitchen, which is what you're great at.
Right.
But when you get into a 5,000 square foot restaurant, you've got a 1,000 square foot kitchen, but you also have to worry about how do I manage 4,000 square feet of front of house that I have to take care of.
So they know the food, but they don't know the space. They don't know the locations. They don't know big restaurants. They don't know front of business, all that stuff
that
they have to learn, and they get overwhelmed.
And that's why there's such a high failure rate on restaurants. There's a lot of people who are great executive chefs, but they're lousy business owner operators.
Right.
So the food truck actually helps condense how much outside of the kitchen space you have to be worried about, which is what's outside the food truck. You just have to worry about getting to and from the prep,
right,
the social media. Those are less things you have to learn.
Well, and you also have to learn about the tax man.
Absolutely.
The food inspector, what your customers are thinking and saying. So you do have that business thing, but you're saying it's on a smaller scale that you can get your arms around versus jumping into a 5,000 square foot place with 1,000 square foot of restaurants and all those people. Your staff's smaller, all that kind of things. And so you're jumping into a little pond to learn to swim rather than the ocean.
Absolutely. Those are the same key vendors that you'll have to use. Have to have a great CPA to kind of help you, even with a small food truck operation versus a large brick and mortar.
Well, and it's like my business as a consultant, we're in there. And what you said about they could be a great chef but a lousy business person, that's true of anybody that gets into a business to sell their technology, their science, their expertise. They may be 100% fabulous in that, but when it comes to business, they don't want to get into the accounting, or they want to neglect it, or they don't want to spend the money on it. Those different types of things. But you have to be successful. You have to have a great business model. You have to be good at whatever it is you're selling. And you really need to be good at sales and marketing and promoting that.
Absolutely. I'll just give you a classic example, like a startup IT company. You can have one guy who knows the technology and he's on the up and up and he can make the best that there is out there, but he doesn't know how to market and he doesn't know how to operate a business. So it's kind of like
he doesn't know how to interact with the customers.
He doesn't know how to communicate either. But even for someone who knows how to market, they're great in sales and marketing, but if they know nothing about the product or they can't develop the product, they're not going to be as successful. And then you've got the business side, someone who's great at business management and operations, but if he doesn't have a product or a way to get the word out, he's not going to be successful. So I look at it as you got one of those three key elements. It's kind of like a tripod. If you got someone great at the subject matter, someone who's great at marketing, someone in the business, it's a great solid tripod for up and up company.
Otherwise, it's a tricycle trying to do a wheeling on the front tire.
Exactly.
Right? And you need all those tires on the ground and rolling. And when you look back at your experience in restaurants, now in the catering and the food trucks, what are the three biggest lessons you wish someone had taught you before you spent all that money on tuition, as you call it? What were your biggest mistakes, and how did you recover from those, and how do you share that with people that you're mentoring and helping along?
I wish when I started a food truck, I had someone who was been there, done it. Let me sit down and share with you what you're getting into. Not sharing with you a bunch of negatives, but share with you a lot of positives.
The realities.
Let me share with you the realities, because unfortunately, a lot of people who say, I want to get into the food truck, why are you getting into it? Well, I enjoy the great food truck race, and I saw the movie Chef, and it looks like a lot of fun, and
again,
that's what I want to do.
They're seeing the facade. They're not seeing the 3D business behind it.
Well, one of the best parts about food trucks is there's no bathroom to clean, so you don't have to worry about cleaning bathrooms anymore. So that was one of the big pluses, and it's a fun plus that I
okay,
like to
that,
share
that,
with everyone.
That's a question. So you always park at a location that has a bathroom that you can use nearby.
Exactly. But like I said, there's still a lot of the behind the scenes of food prep, ordering, and so forth that has to be done. There's a new can of worms that gets opened up. Not literally worms, but when you're running a food truck, you are on wheels.
Right.
You're mobile. Things like to shift. Things like to fall.
It's
things
like being
to
on
slide.
A boat, and you need to make sure that your glasses are not glass and they're where they're supposed to be. Your pots and pans aren't going to run when you go around a corner too fast and things like
Trust me, the first 30 days of me running my food truck, I was picking up more stuff and throwing away off the floor because I saw a shelf up top, and I said, oh, we could stack XYZ up there. And but when I got to the event, it was all on the floor.
Right. Well, and it's literally you're kind of translating like on boats and stuff that, you know, the Navy has little things that make things not move. You have little rails, you have shapes, you have things that on a submarine or a boat or a ship. There are boats. The subs are called boats. And so you need to think about those processes and even in selecting the truck. When you buy that truck, is it automatically set up the way you want it? Or do you kind of design the inside like you would a restaurant?
There are hundreds, if not thousands, of builders for food trucks across the nation. Some are more educated and more experienced than others. So you have to do your due diligence as far as selecting a food truck builder. I interviewed 6 different builders before I selected the one to build my truck. Even after doing that due diligence, after having my truck for 3.5 years, I'm telling myself, wow, I wish this guy would have done this
next
better,
time, right?
This
yeah,
better.
Next time, right?
Exactly. So ideally is to have someone who's been building food trucks for longer periods of time,
and driven them
after they've built them. Yes, absolutely.
So when you're thinking about that, so being conscious, like if you're designing a kitchen and a home, you're always trying to make sure the equipment is laid out in a certain way. Is there a standard way you want equipment laid out in a food truck to ease the prep, the serving, the storage, to maximize the space? Is there some kind of formula for how much space you want for what, or how does it work?
Well, all food trucks, when you go buy them brand new, they will make it to however you want it. You're paying the bill. They'll put, you know, the refrigerator on.
Okay, that's really good, and that's really scary.
Exactly. For someone who doesn't know what they're designing and they're making those decisions, that is pretty frightening. And unfortunately, after they get the truck and start working in it and realize it made more sense to put the freezer next to the fryer instead of opposite ends of each other, those are lessons learned. Those are tuition. Those are six months down the road, you're pulling the freezer out and relocating it yourself.
How big of an investment are we talking about a food truck? Is it $20,000? Is it $50,000? Is it six figures? I mean, how significant, and is it based on the design and the size and some extent?
It has a lot to do with what it is you're selling.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that a lot of people don't start with. They see a used food truck on Craigslist. Hey, it's $10,000. I'm going to go pick it up. But they didn't realize I had to put $40,000 worth of repairs and new equipment in there. A lot of times you do have to start with your menu. What is it that you're selling? And your menu helps dictate the equipment you need. And then after you determine what equipment you need, what is the workflow? So you have to make sure you position all the equipment so that you're not running 20 steps to get the fries to drop in the freezer. You're reaching over right next to the freezer and grabbing the fries and putting it in. So you kind of minimize how much travel you're doing up and down the trucks.
Well, and how you would interfere with other and the people. So if somebody's selling, somebody's cooking fries, somebody's preparing sandwiches or doing the hibachi cooking,
how much you don't run into each other is important.
Exactly. Right. So as far as the cost to start a food truck, I've heard of people start them as low as $20,000 to $25,000.
Okay.
And it's a reflection. Depends on how much of a skill set you can do yourself. And I've also seen the people who go full out, brand new trucks, brand new equipment, high end equipment, and they're spending six figures. They're spending $100,000 to $150,000 on a food truck. So I've seen that as well too.
So before your food truck goes on the road and makes its first sale, do you have to get it inspected by the health department? And
that's absolutely. It's just like having a new business. You have to have your business permits and licenses. And of course, you have to work along the build process with the health department. And prior to being able to go out and sell the first time, you have to be inspected by the health department for them to give you a permit so you can go legally on the road and start selling.
Does the vehicle have to pass certain commercial vehicle standards too to be on the road?
Well, the vehicle are inspected just kind of like our regular vehicles that we drive. You still have to have your regular state inspections on it. But as far as from the restaurants, the food side, that's all health department.
Do you have to be a commercial licensed person to drive it or just a regular license?
You can drive most vehicles with just a regular license. Unless you're pulling a 53-foot tractor trailer, then I believe that's a different class of license that you have to have.
Or a taxi driver, things like that, limos, those great big long limos and things like that.
Yeah, but most of us are pulling, you know, the 15 to 20-foot trailers that we pull with our pickup trucks, or they're driving the step vans that are usually like 22 or 26 feet long, and you can operate all those just with a regular driver's license.
So you started out driving your own, I'm assuming, and now you have an employee drive it. And what kind of, as a business, that's a risk. What kind of checks do you do for people that you're going to be employing and driving your vehicle?
Well, first of all, I got to like them. If I don't like them, if I can't work around them, I don't want them working with me. So that's probably one of the first qualifications. But just like any other business that you do, you have to do background checks. And if you entrust someone to drive your truck, you got to make sure they have a driver's license. You got to make sure they have a reasonably clean driving record. I understand we're all not perfect.
Right.
But definitely.
No DUIs, no things like that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. No, not at all.
When you're thinking about, like I was talking earlier, your business growing, as the Raleigh market grows and becomes more sophisticated and there's more and more food trucks, do you see that industry and the way it interacts with the community growing and changing to be more like a Colorado Springs or a Boulder, a Seattle, LA, where the trucks are moving more and have more dynamics on how they do business?
Based on what I'm kind of seeing in the trend here, I don't see this area getting to that level in a short time frame, because we don't have the high concentration of population like you have in the Seattles and the Denvers. You know, you're not walking outside and there's
3,000 skyscrapers.
Yeah, 3,000 skyscrapers all over the place. So you definitely have to have the high population concentration that you have in the big metro cities. So no, I do not see it where a food truck just says, I'm just going to randomly park on this corner and in that corner. I believe the current regulations don't allow that. And even if it did allow it, your chances of success right now, just because you don't have the dense population, there's not enough people there to support your stop. So even if you try that right now, after a few short weeks, you're going to be like, not working. I got to find better gigs to go to.
So where are the places that you find that work best right now for your food truck? Where are you parking and where can people find you on a given day?
The weekends right now there's a lot of festivals and events that are going on. I know, you know, Raleigh Rodeo has four events a year. I think May, June, August, and October.
Okay.
The Durham Food Truck Rodeo, I believe they run about five times a year.
This Sunday.
There's one this Sunday.
At Hunt and Foster.
Hunt and Foster.
From noon to four, we believe. They could probably type in Durham Food Truck Radio and find it.
Absolutely, for all the specific details. Wake Forest even has a rodeo. They're doing four dates a year. I believe Knightdale's starting to get in the bandwagon. Garner's got a couple of them. And even Cary does their Cary Chowdown. They've got three or four events a year. I believe we're actually in Cary Chowdown next month in the July one. I apologize, I don't have that date.
But they could check on your website?
Absolutely. Check on our website.
And your website is?
It's hibachiexpress.com.
So no, HIBACHIXPRESS.com.
Absolutely. No E in front of the X. That's one of the most common mistakes that we make.
And so that's always going to tell us what events you're showing up at and those kind of things.
Yep. Look on the calendar tab, and we do our best to keep all of our events on the calendar updated at all times.
So if you were out talking to someone who's thinking about being a food truck person or even a restaurant or into catering, what would you tell them to do, say the first three things that you think they just absolutely have to do to avoid paying too much tuition?
Run! I definitely don't want to damper their dream. They obviously want to do food trucks for a particular reason. They have a nice passion for food, and they really enjoy the food truck scene.
But it has to be beyond they enjoy watching the food truck shows.
It is. I would say take your time. Don't rush. Don't feel like you must get it started next week.
Do your homework, in other words.
Do your homework. Talk to food truck owners. I would say majority of food truck owners are more than happy to talk with you about their experiences.
As long as it's not when 150 people are in line at the festival.
Yeah, definitely don't try to talk
them
to them
before, you know, email, call, say, I'm thinking about it. Ray, can I come talk to you?
Take us out to lunch. I love to eat. buy me coffee. We drink all the time. Or we'll meet at a bar and buy me beer. You have my attention then.
So everybody knows how to do that now. So you sit down with them. You're telling them to do their homework. And what should that homework consist of?
It would be really have a great understanding of what it is you're going to sell.
The food.
What kind of food are you going to sell? Now, there are a lot of Mexican trucks. There's a lot of burger trucks. And if you're just going to be another person that's selling the same food, what's going to make you different right. and unique? And that's what a lot of people are looking for. They're looking for unique foods and have a pretty cool name. It's got to have a cool, catchy name, and that'll get a lot more support socially than you imagine.
Yeah, Moe's Burgers isn't necessarily going to get you to somebody's show.
No, not exactly.
Moe's Mammoth Burgers might. So you're telling them to do the homework, think about the food, but don't they just as much have to think about who they want to buy that from them, the customer that they're going to target?
Well, the beauty of going to a lot of different events throughout the year is your clientele actually is different from every event.
Okay.
You go to a elementary school. Well, right. Majority of them are going to be families and little kids. So even for us, I'm like, can I get mac and cheese with teriyaki sauce so I have something for the kids?
Or yum-yum sauce.
Or yum-yum sauce. Mac and cheese with yum-yum. Actually,
you're going to try that.
I think I'm going to have to try that this weekend. Actually, be pretty cool. And I'll bet it tastes unbelievable.
I bet it would, too.
But even if you go to, I believe we're doing an event this week for one of the schools where it's all teachers. There's
right.
like 300 teachers at an event, and they all got to eat. So you know it's going to be, all adults. So you don't have to worry about bringing the mac and cheese. Or you might go to a 4th of July festival, and it's all adults, and they're all been celebrating.
Right.
So they're happy as can be, and you just want to keep them fed as quick as possible. So as far as the clientele, your clientele changes because based on the different events that you're participating in.
So that's different than most businesses. And so you're really are focusing on what is your menu, how clean is that menu that you can manage it, again, because you're limited on space in a food truck, right? So you're not going to try to have a 500-item menu.
Definitely not.
And you want a menu that shares as much common elements, again, for inventory purposes as possible, right?
You also want to be flexible. After you've been running the menu and, hey, these apps just aren't moving. People are not interested. Is it price wrong? Is it not packaged right? Or are they just not interested in just fried dough with dough on top?
Right.
So you have to kind of be flexible as to say, this does not work. Take it off my menu, and I'm going to introduce something new to it.
So is your menu a printed menu, or is it on the side of the truck? Is it a chalkboard? What do you do for your menu?
I got a 2x3 dry erase board. That's how I started. It's white with a lot of scratches on the frame, and I got dry erase markers, and we handwrite our menu every event. Over time, I mean, it's taken me 3.5 years to do this. I actually decided to spend the money and have something printed
right.
with our logo on it. So we're really starting to get fancy here, and that's one big leap for us. But I know a lot of food truck owners who are starting out, that's one aspect of the marketing that they didn't really think much about.
Right.
Now, I have seen other food truck owners where they do have printed menus. And from what I've seen, if the price is on there and the price is the same at different event, that actually might be one of their setbacks.
Right.
Because if you're going into a big festival and they charge hundreds of dollars just to get in for the day,
your price needs to change.
Your menu
that, right?
needs to kind of reflect that so you can still stay profitable at the event. So as far as printed menus go, I believe a lot of people are kind of more technology and social savvy, that if I say, hey, my menu's on the website, or,
right.
You know.
You can have a digital menu on your board. You can type
have a digital
in and
menu
pop up.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. There's so many differences that are happening in all aspects of business. We're almost out of time. We got like a minute left. If you had to tell them one absolute thing that everybody needs to know about being in business in general, what would you tell everybody about being in business?
You got to have fun. It doesn't matter what you do. If you don't enjoy it and you're not having fun, it's not worth it. You could make a lot of money in food truck business, but if you hate cooking, it's probably not the right business for you. But if you enjoy the food and you enjoy making money, enjoy having fun, and you're positive and upbeat and social with everyone, it's going to be a right fit. So bottom line, no matter what you do, you got to have fun while you're doing it.
Well, Ray, I want to thank you for being on the show. Again, his website is Hibachi Express, no E in front of that X in Express. You can catch him on Twitter at Hibachi Express and on Facebook at Hibachi Express. He also has Catering by Ray. So if you're looking for a food truck or you need a caterer, you now know where you can reach Ray. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And until next week, everybody, stay focused on the important things.